ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
My wife and I have been married for 41 years. Unbelievable. I can't believe I'm that old. You know, I thought living to 40 was old. Well, not anymore, but... And you know what? We're not done learning about each other. We're still learning about each other. Because once you stop learning about each other, stop caring. And really, the marriage is over. You know, when I got married, when I was standing at the altar and my wife was coming down the aisle, I thought, oh my gosh, it doesn't get any better than that. This is the most amazing thing. I was in tears seeing her come down the aisle. Well, here I am 41 years later, and I know my wife better now than I did back then. I love her more than I did back then. You know, I was a kid. And I was learning about what love was about. And she was a kid learning what love was about. And here we are 41 years later, and we're still learning. And again, like I said, it should never stop. This Levite, that wasn't the case. Not at all. You see, the wife is not a possession. You can't call her, you know, honey or sugar cakes or deer or whatever, and then abuse her like is going to happen here. You know, she's the daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think us as guys, and I'm picking on us, if we understood that we are married to the King's daughter, maybe it would cause us to treat our spouses better, huh? Wow. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that we're to love our spouse as Christ loves the church and gave his life for it. And I don't even come close to that. But it doesn't mean we should stop trying. Right? To be more like Christ. Oh, yeah. Lord, help me. In the verses we read so far, and granted we've only read three here in Judges chapter 19, what is the one thing that is missing out of those three verses? God. Here is a Levite, a religious man, right? And there's nothing about, and I sought the Lord, I prayed. Nothing about God at all. It's all about, well, I'm just wandering around. I pick up a concubine here. She takes off. 4 months later, I'll go get her. Wow. That's not a good thing. He had a wandering heart. We saw the breakdown of marriage. We saw the pseudo-reconciliation. And here now, this Levite is at his father-in-law's house. The father is excited to see him. You know, maybe he wanted his daughter out of the house. You know, oh, she's back again. And she's not living a lifestyle that I approve of. Thank God he's back to take her home. Well, they're going to have, this father-in-law and this Levite are going to have some fun before he heads home. And that's the last point, entertainment. And look at verse 4 here in Judges 19. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him and stayed with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. Then it came to pass on the fourth day that they arose early in the morning, and he stood to depart. But the young woman's father said to his son-in-law, "Refresh your heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way." So they sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the man, "Please be content to stay all night and let your heart be merry." And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him, so he lodged there again. Then he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. But the young woman's father said, "Please refresh your heart." So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. And when the man stood to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the young woman's father said to him, look, the day is now drawing toward evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Lodge here that your heart may be merry. Tomorrow go your way early so that you may get home. So what are they doing for 3 days and eventually it'll be 5 days? Is they're eating and drinking. And here was one of the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel, a nation that was walking in darkness, and he's partying it up. And it shouldn't have been. He's doing like the rest of the world was doing, and it shouldn't have happened. And I don't know, it just seems like this man's father-in-law liked to party with his son-in-law. He doesn't want him to leave. He wanted his daughter to go, but he wants the son-in-law to stick around. Let's have a good time here before you take off. And you know what? That's what goes on in the church many times today. We've become entertainment centers. Basketball courts, climbing walls, skits instead of teaching the Bible. Light shows and fog shows, all kinds of things. And believe me, if you know me at all, you know I like to have fun. I like to enjoy myself. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But there's a time to have fun and there's a time to be serious. And instead of instructing people on holiness, we entertain them. We're feeding the flesh instead of building up the inner man. And some people think, well, aren't you going a little overboard on that? Well, you can come to your own conclusion on that. Listen to what this church in Glendale, Arizona has concluded as an important part of their service, instructing their members. And this is some 27 years ago, okay? The reason I'm saying that is because I want you to understand we've come a long way, baby, and it's not better. It's worse. But listen to what this article told us. This is from Newsweek, Dead End for the Mainline is the title of the story. Terry Summers, Arizona's Actress of the Year, likes to stage skits in the sanctuary instead of having ministers preach from the pulpit. This is a quote. People today aren't interested in traditional doctrines like justification, sanctification, and redemption, the pastor concluded. Did you understand that? Did you hear what he said? People today aren't interested in traditional doctrines like justification, sanctification, and redemption. How are you saved? Right? I mean, if you're not teaching that, how are people going to get saved? Are we just gathering together to have fun? Because if we are, we might as well go see a play or a movie. I guess you can't do that anymore with COVID, but you know what I mean. Go get entertained. No, it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to get serious. And how can you say you are not interested in the fundamental principles of the Christian faith? What are you giving them? You know, it's been a few years ago, I did a whole series, it probably lasted a year or so, on foundational truths. Just laying down the foundational principles, because the Lord really put it upon my heart, people aren't aware of some of these things. And so we took our time going through them. And, you know, they're on our webpage. You can look at them. You know, God wants us to be holy people. He didn't say, be happy for I'm happy. He said, be holy for I'm holy. And I'll tell you what, for the most part, there is great joy in walking with the Lord. But there are other times he really convicts us and nails us. And we have to deal with it. That's because he loves us. And you know, we grow as we read the Word of God and apply it to our lives. I wonder what Charles Spurgeon would say today. You know, did you ever think about some of these guys? 130 years ago, he gave this warning. And you think, man, it's almost like he's here today. This is what he wrote. A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. Wow. Okay. You know, he didn't know how to win friends and influence people. He probably should read that book, huh? No, he knew what to say. And he said it. He wasn't afraid to say it. and how prophetic that is. You know, we've closed our eyes to these warnings that many have given. J. Vernon McGee, Tozer, and others warned us. Spurgeon also wrote, if you have to give a carnival to get people to come to church, then you will have to keep giving carnivals to keep them coming back. Absolutely. You know, the church down the street's got this big thing going on, big production. What are you doing? Okay, well, we'll have a bigger one. I remember it was a Christmas time story that two churches were competing. And, you know, they were doing live nativities. And so, you know, you have a few sheep or whatever. And the other one had to have a few sheep and some other animals. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. And they were always competing. Who would have the bigger nativity scene, the bigger production? And so this one was going to have this angel hooked up on strings coming over all the people. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden he started spinning. And it was going faster. And the poor guy must have ate a pretty big meal before this production. And the people knew it was a big meal, too, because he let them know it. You know, how big is our productions going to get? The best thing that we can give people is the Word of God opened up by the Spirit of God. Tozer wrote, for centuries the church stood solidly against every form of worldly entertainment, recognizing for what it was, a device for wasting time, a refuge from the disturbing voice of the conscience, a scheme to divert attention from moral accountability. For this she got herself abused roundly by the sons of this world. But of late she has become tired of the abuse and has given over the struggle. She appears to have decided that if she cannot conquer the great God entertainment, she may as well join forces with him and make use she can of his powers. So today we have the astonishing spectacle of millions of dollars being poured into the unholy job of providing earthly entertainment for the so-called sons of heaven. Religious entertainment is in many places rapidly crowding out the serious things of God. Many churches these days have become little more than poor theaters where fifth-rate producers peddle their shoddy wares with the full approval of evangelical leaders who can even quote a holy text in defense of their delinquency, and hardly a man dares raise his voice against it. We are spending money on entertainment, and yet all church sizes in a survey revealed that approximately, and hear this, approximately 5% of the church budget goes towards missions, both international and domestic. 5%. That's outrageous. You know, when I first came up here, and you know, my desire was at least 15% of our income, of our tithes and offerings, needs to go to missions. We are up to over 20% going to missions. But you can't do that if you are spending millions of dollars on sound systems and light shows and fog machines, different stage setups for the different skits you're putting on, and the list goes on. And the entire service ends up being a show. The music ends up being worldly, and it's entertainment. And where is the Word of God being taught? And you look at it, and it's one church going to this entertainment, another church for that entertainment, and on and on. And there is competition out there. I mean, you look at all this stuff. You know, John MacArthur called it, give me that Showtime religion. Not the old time, the Showtime. Entertain me. And again, there's nothing wrong with being entertained, but not in church. It's not what the church is about. Remember what I said, preach the word. That's what it's about. Prayer meetings. Try to get someone to come to a prayer meeting today. Midweek services. That's a tough one. And, you know, try to evangelize using the law of God. trying to show people that they're sinners. Because it's offensive. We need to continue to preach the word, call people to repentance, guys. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anyone, but I'm not here to entertain you, and you wouldn't want me to try and entertain you. I'm a horrible singer. I couldn't put on a skit for the life of me. This is what God has called me to do, to preach the word. It's as simple as that. We're not in a business. We're for the kingdom of God. We're not an organization. We're a living organism. As soon as we become a business or an organization, well, now we got to do this and we have to do that. And no, we're a living organism controlled by the Holy Spirit with God as the control center, not man. And that's the best way to have it. There's nothing better than that. I think, like we see with this man, we see a rebellion toward God throughout the earth today. You know, when William Ten Boom, he was a Dutch pastor in the 1930s, tried to awaken his listeners to a biblical understanding of Europe's instability and the rise of a new dictator, Adolf Hitler. Many of us don't know about William Ten Boom. And the people who heard that didn't respond to his messages. And one church after another decided to replace him with someone else until he found himself directing a nursing home. They didn't want to hear the message. Sounds a lot like Jeremiah, right? No one wanted to hear him. Oh, we're not going into captivity. Everything's fine. Eventually, he was imprisoned with his sister, Corrie Ten Boom, the author of The Hiding Place. But how different it could have been for many believers in Holland, and maybe Holland itself, had his message been taken to heart by the church before it was too late. Similarly, Chinese pastors, in a conversation with Corrie Ten Boom years later, admitted their mistaken perspective before China was violently overtaken by Chairman Mao in communism. They weren't prepared. And I think today, wow, are we prepared for what's coming? We have to stand strong. You know, how can the church be a house of God, which implies that God himself is present and active, if God's voice cannot be heard among his people? It's pretty simple, right? How do we hear God's voice? By reading his word. You see, as we move away from the truths of God found in the word of God, then we can't hear the voice of God, because that's where he's speaking to us through. And personal immorality explodes, because why? There's no direction. People do what's right in their own hearts. The church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15. The church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. What else is it going to be? Right? And I realize that some people say, look, you know, we want to be seeker sensitive. We want the unsaved to come in. And so we don't want to offend them by giving them a message that would be offensive to them. We don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about, you know, different things that would offend them. So we're just going to tell them what they like to hear. I'm sorry, but I don't find that anywhere in the scriptures. What I do find is feed the sheep. Well, what about the goats? What about the unsaved? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they may hear something that they don't like. Maybe they're going to be convicted by what's being spoken. And God will get them to saving faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by tickling their ears, but speaking forth the truth. It's not easy always to hear what God has to say. You look at many of the prophets from the Old Testament, and they found that out to be true. like I said, Jeremiah. Can you imagine 40 years in ministry, no one wants to hear anything you have to say for 40 years? That would be a little disheartening, wouldn't it? I mean, come on, just someone. But no. Was his message correct? Absolutely, it was 100% correct. They were going into captivity. No matter what the priests were saying, oh no, don't listen to Jeremiah, we're not going into captivity. They did go into captivity for 70 years, just like Jeremiah said. And I like Daniel because Daniel knew that it, from Jeremiah, that 70 years was the time frame of their captivity. So he was praying, seeking direction. Lord, what are we going to do? We have sinned. We have turned from you. Not they have, we have. Myself included. Lord, what will you have us to do now that this captivity is almost over? Trusted in the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and live the Word of God. And you know, winds of doctrine will blow through the church, guys. It's always been the case, from the start of the church till today. But I'm amazed at how quickly people latch on to winds of doctrine. Christians that you think, there is no way, no way, they can't believe that. And they do. And you try and talk with them, and they don't want to hear what you have to say. Because they're right. And there's always some new revelation, some new teaching, some new this, new that to tickle ears. Keep growing in the Word of God. Being built up in the faith. Stand strong in the faith. Don't give in to the false teaching that's out there. Because it'll sound really good. You know, if it sounded really bad, it'd be easy to tell, right? It was, you know, I don't know. People believe, it's amazing what people will believe. Just trust what God's Word has to say. For this Levite, we see his personal immorality affect him and really those around him. He was wandering through life and wherever he felt, he went. Felt to go, that's where he went. He had a wandering heart. Got him in trouble. We saw the breakdown of marriage. Because he wasn't walking with God, it affected his relationship with his wife or concubine. And yeah, they tried to reconcile things with his wife, but that was a pseudo-reconciliation. I don't think he really loved her. And we'll see that as we continue on next time as we finish up this chapter. And I think this Levite was happier to be entertained than obeying the Lord and walking accordingly. And not only walking accordingly, but really sharing his faith with those around him. It was about entertainment. Make me happy. Make me feel good. And as we'll see next time, at the end of 5 days of drinking and eating, this Levite's going to decide to go home, even though his father-in-law wants him to stay a little longer. And it's not a pretty story, and it's going to get even worse because there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Let me just share Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27 with you to meditate upon, and then I'll close. This is what we're told. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. In other words, stay focused on the Lord. Let him guide you, direct you, and what God is doing on the inside, as that inner man is growing and being built up, will be manifested in your outward actions, your outward speech. Draw close to the Lord and he'll draw close to you. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this horrible situation that's just going to get worse and worse, help us to understand that by your grace we stand. We can't do this on our own. And you've not only empowered us by your Spirit, but you've given us your Word to guide us and direct us. And we need to keep our eyes focused upon you, or we're going to be in danger, we're going to be in trouble. And we just thank you for these examples. They're hard ones, Lord. But Lord, they're there for us to learn from, to give us hope, to just draw close to you. This Levite was far from you. He was just doing what he wanted, and it's going to get him in lots of trouble. Father, we thank you for being our God and never giving up on us, that you continually will work in our lives. And we just pray, Lord, help us to have that walk that is according to the high calling by which we've been called, to walk in holiness. And Lord, keeping our eyes on you at all times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.